Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today, our study is in the book of 1 Samuel. If you're in a place where you can grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study.
Then Saul sent the messengers back to see David and saying, "Bring him up to me in the bed that I may kill him." "I do not care. Just, you know, roll him over on a stretcher and we'll drag him up here and I'll slice him and dice him then. It doesn't matter. I want to kill him." And when the messengers had come in, there was an image in the bed with a cover of goat's hair for its head. And Saul said to Michael, "Why have you deceived me like this and sent my enemy away so that he has escaped?" And Michael answered Saul. Remember, this is her dad. And now she says to him, "He said to me, 'Let me go. Why should I kill you?'" So now she's a liar. So, you know, this is kind of this is interesting to me. Now, his friend steps in and intercedes for him. That's awesome. We got our friend Jesus Christ steps in and intercedes for us. Remember, what are we dealing with? We're dealing with this battle against an enemy. I like this thought. I like this analogy. I like this kind of project yourself into this and kind of see how this might fit. You know, what are you and I known as? What are we known as? We're the church and we are the bride of Christ. Interesting. And there's some of us that might be a little more idolatrous than others. And there might be some of us that slip out a fib here and there, lie a little bit once in a while. But you know what? When push comes to shove, I'd like to think that we would still do anything we could to defend someone in righteous ways, you know, to defend someone and protect someone and do what we could. I'm not saying that Michael was just this awesome gal, because she's proven herself over and over again. She turns out she's a bit of a bad seed. But that's one of the reasons why Saul pawned her off on David anyway. But we talked about that. I mean, she's kind of a bad chick, you know? So, but this, when you look at this, you start saying, man, you know what? Oftentimes, God uses the people that surround us to help us, even in their imperfections, even though they're not perfect. Because all I'm seeing, and I'm just reading about a gal, it's just not perfect. So what? It's his wife, it's his bride, and she's still cared enough to look out for him. And I think sometimes it's good for us, instead of looking to one another for some perfection that we don't have ourselves, but to look and just say, hey, it's okay that, man, they want to help me. It might be a stretch a little bit, but I think there's some truth to that thought. And when you look at it in this light of, man, we see this true friend there. We see now this bride that's just like us that's trying to help. You want to help people, and we're not perfect. We don't always think and do the exact right things, but our hearts for one another, we want to help people. Well, let's go on. This gets crazier. What about this powerful prophet? This gets interesting. This third portion here. So David fled and escaped and went to Saul at Ramah. Now, you remember, he goes in and he told him all that Saul had done to him. I think it's kind of interesting. Samuel knows what's really going down, right? Samuel knows that Saul's a mess, that he's turned into a freak, right? He knows that. He knows that he's without God. He's not walking with God. He said, man, just as, you know, you've torn my garment, the kingdom's been torn from you this day. I mean, he just full on laid it out for him. That was that. You know, there's no turning back from that really that we saw at all with Saul. It just went from bad to worse with him. God tells Samuel, I want you to go anoint another king. He goes out, he seeks after, he finds David. He dumps the whole horn of oil on him. Doesn't just get a little splattering, not a little sprinkle, but just bathes him in some oil. Just a full anointing goes upon him in his life, powerful and true. And he knows, and it's kind of cool, he knows that Samuel knows what's really going down. And I think that's important. I think it's good to interact in truth with friends and people. It's important to have people in your life that kind of maybe aren't exactly maybe a Samuel, but are Samuel-like to us. I think that's important. I also think that we have the scriptures. We can enjoy times that we can spend with Ezekiel. We have times that we can spend with other prophets that can speak to our hearts and can speak to us and things happening in our lives. It's real. The Bible is alive and powerful. And it's important for us to know that the word itself is packed with prophetic word for you and for me. If we would listen to the prophets as they would speak to us today, we might have a better idea what's going on around us, you know, because we can see what's happening. And it's because of the prophetic word that has been entrusted to us, the sure word of God, Peter says. I like this with the latter part of verse 18. And he, David, and Samuel went and stayed in Naoth. I think it's just really cool that Samuel hung out with him. Samuel spent time with him. Samuel didn't just say, hey, listen, you know, quit worrying about it. You know, you're going to be the king. Just chill out, you know. He doesn't just tell him that. They walked and they talked. Oftentimes when I've got a lot going on, even in the building or when I'm out at the office, sometimes I got stuff I'm going. Sometimes I say, hey, I've got to do this or I got to do that. I say, do you mind? I can listen to you, but I've got to keep going. And we will walk and talk. Sometimes it's, hey, listen, I try and use my time twice as often as I can. I try and make my phone calls while I'm driving. I do not text though, because that is one, illegal and unwise. It's unsafe. Some people have stronger tendencies for this than others, but using your time twice is good, and I like that. Isn't it true? Sometimes you walk and you can talk. You can get in your car, you can call and you can talk. You can do, you know, use your time twice when you get a chance. But I like this about the fact that he hung out with him. He ministered to him. Just as the Lord wants to minister through his word to you and me. I think this is so significant. We've got this true friend, Jesus Christ, right? That steps in the gap for us, certainly. We talked about propitiation and the real significance of that. We talk about what it really means that God interceded on our behalf in the form of his son, Jesus Christ. What a true friend. He gave himself for us. And here's this bride here, his wife, that, you know, she's a little bit so in certain ways, but man, she was trying to spare him, even though she wasn't perfect and all that, but she was trying to do something to help him out. I think sometimes we got to see our friends around us that way in the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. And then here, we've got a prophet, man, who's really stepping in, listening, and trying to minister to him. Now, it was told to Saul saying, take note, David is at Naoth in Ramah. Naoth means dwelling place. And this is basically, it's kind of where a lot of prophets hung out. Prophet school kind of thing. I'm serious. There was a gathering of them hanging out. I know, it's funny. If you're me, I'm looking out, it was like, prophet school. You know, like, it's funny. No, I'm serious. That's what was going on there. So then Saul sent messengers to take David. So Saul's still after him. He's going after him there where he's hanging out with Samuel. And when they saw the group of prophets prophesying and Samuel standing as leader over them, the Spirit of God came upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. Now that brings about some interesting things to me. One, that we got to be who we are. You need to be who you are in the Lord. I need to be who I am in the Lord. We need to, as Christians, be Christians. I say this strongly, and I think it's something you want to convey to young people that are around you, you know, your young adults or your younger, you know, high school, junior high school age children. So, man, be you in the Lord. Be who you are. Let's let us and the Spirit of God dwelling in us influence the world that surrounds us. I don't like this mimicking the world stuff. I want to infiltrate and impact the world instead of us trying to just be cool and be, you know, I don't like that idea. That gets kind of weird. This is the truth. Man, look, check this out. They're there and they come to do harm, but as they're there, they see and sense something different going on and end up being a part of it. Their intention, case in point, Saul. On the road to Damascus. His intent is to do harm. but comes in direct contact with the one true living God. He meets Jesus on the road to Damascus, where he's going to incarcerate others and to, you know, persecute and the church and others that were of the way of Christianity. He's en route to do that, and Jesus shows up. Now, he meets the Lord. The Lord had the direct influence, the power of God had the direct influence on his life, even though he was en route to do something else. The Spirit of God came upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. They became a part of the gathering then. That's a wild thought, but a great thing to contemplate and think about, and just think about who's influencing whom. I think those are good things to think about. Am I influencing the world around me? Are we influencing? I hope so. I want to. I want to permeate, infiltrate, do everything we can to get the gospel into the nooks and crannies of the world around us. You know, do you think that goes real good with a bunch of compromise in your life? I'd say probably not. I didn't say perfection because we can't live that. But known compromise, we ought to be careful. We ought to be wise because people are watching yours and my life. It was interesting. Amanda was telling me before service, and I'm sorry to say this so quickly after. I usually like to let those things kind of percolate for a week or two before I bring them up, and then you'd be in children's ministry, and it wouldn't matter. Somebody may say something to you afterwards. But she was telling me an interesting thing, guys. And we've talked about this before. I've talked to the men about this kind of thing. A lot of us and gals that are a little more miles on us. I don't like to use the word older. I just like to use a little more miles or something cool like that, you know. But the idea is for some of these little guys, she's telling me, she says, yeah. She goes, the kids are playing at the house and they're talking to each other. And one is one guy, one of the church guys that they know. And another one's another one of the church guys that they know. And they're kind of role playing with these different church guys, you know. Isn't that cool? Hopefully it's cool. I don't know. I don't know all what they're doing or what they're saying, so I'm not sure. But little ears and little eyes are watching, and we're the aunts and uncles, you guys, you know, to some of these little guys. And they're going to emulate. They're going to live out or kind of play act what they've seen. Parents, it's true. They live in your four walls. You can't show them perfection. But you know what, husband and wife? You get animosity toward one another and you retain that in your person and you don't humble yourself to your spouse, your kid will pick up on that vibe too. But you humble yourself and you show them how to live, because you know what? That's real life. That's real life. When you slam on the brakes because you're just tired of listening to whatever you listen to and you're an idiot, and you slam on the brakes in your little minivan and you hop out of the front seat and just go, okay, then you just drive. And then while you're walking around the back of the van, your car takes off down the street. And you realize, well, now I've got to walk. This is real life, okay? It's long enough distance back. And this is as a believer, by the way, too. This is not an unregenerate person. Now I'm walking down the street on the sidewalk. I'm thinking, boy, that was pretty stupid. You know? Not only am I walking, but I've made a fool of myself before the Lord, my wife, and my children. Awesome, you know? Now you got to unravel this, and it's a horrible thing. But you know, one good thing is not only is it humbling, but it's not something you're eager to do over and over again, you see? Because you've kind of had to, gracious as my wife is, it was maybe, she let me stew on it a good solid several minutes, maybe 10, and then it seemed like a lot longer than 10 minutes at the time, but she came back around in the car and then pulled up alongside, rolls down the window, and you ready for, you need a ride now, you know? Yes. So I get in the car, I sit down. I told her I humbled myself before. I said, I'm sorry, that was wrong. You know, I've asked the Lord during my 10-minute timeout that I had. I was repentant during my timeout and got right with the Lord on this, and I'd like to ask you to forgive me. And then I had to turn around and tell the boys, hey, man, you know, I asked them to forgive me. I'm sorry that... you had to see that. I'm sorry. Believe me, no one could be sorry that I have to do this, you know? But the reality is that's real life. And when things go on, if you and I are trying to pretend that that doesn't happen, then how do they learn how to actually deal with it when it happens to them? But if we do what God tells us to do and humble ourselves and repent, man, you find yourself not wanting to do that. I've gotten so frustrated before. Early days of my walk with the Lord, I got so frustrated, and I hadn't had any good cussing come out of my mouth for like probably, I was doing good for probably 6 months or so. And man, we were down at the beach, and man, I don't know what happened, but something went wrong. Something snapped in my head, and I just had this cuss fest. And the party was over. It was party time to go home. It was a horrible thing. And now I got to repent over that too. It makes you realize you just shouldn't do this. Now, I'm not telling you something you don't, you know, this happens to us. It's horrible. It makes me sick to think about it. But God bless you if that doesn't come out of your mouth. I know I still think this way sometimes. I've still got to repent about thinking that way. Even though it's not coming out of my mouth and you don't know about it, I still got to repent about it. You know what I mean? That's real life, though. This is where we live. This is the beauty of having such a good friend. This is why it's okay to take, man, test the spirits, make sure they're of the Lord as we get into this whole thing. But realize that sometimes the things that are going on around us, we can have a positive influence even in a bad situation because God can use that for his glory if we will let God have it. If we're going to be plastic and try and fake everybody out on plastic Christianity. I don't like plastic Christianity. I don't think it goes very far. It's like your card, your credit card, just got high interest rates, you know? It's a bad deal. And when Saul was told, he sent other messengers in verse 21, and they prophesied likewise. Same thing happened to them. And then Saul sent messengers again a third time, and they also prophesied. This is like, you got to be kidding me. Then he also went to Ramah and came to a great well that is at Succah. I don't know how to pronounce that. So he asked and said, where are Samuel and David? And someone said, indeed, they're at Naoth in Ramah. So he went there to Naoth in Ramah. Then the Spirit of God was upon him also. And he went on and prophesied until he came to Naoth in Ramah. And he also stripped off his clothes and prophesied before Samuel in like manner and lay down naked all that day and all that night. Therefore, they said, is Saul also among the prophets? Now, remember, this got said in chapter 10, verse 11. The same phrase got said about Saul. Now, that was said in kind of a positive thought. Oh, yeah, man, you know, because the Spirit had come upon him and he was actually prophesying. In this situation, they are actually really questioning this. Is Saul also among, now they're saying it kind of on the backside of it, having seen his behavior, having seen his activity, having seen all that, they're just kind of questioning, are you sure this is really, you know, could this be so, is basically the way they're putting it. Now, this kind of brings up an interesting thing. Not only about testing the spirits, but about the fact that one of the operations of the Spirit in these kind of situations is the Holy Spirit is also a very convicting force. And though Saul's intention was to come and to, again, to do harm, while he's in that spot, he ends up clearly convicted. Now, it doesn't change who he is, but he's certainly exposed anyway. How's that? But he's, I believe, not only has his motive been exposed inside himself, and there's some element of conviction. Now, the interesting thing about conviction is what actually happens with conviction. What do we actually do with that? Because conviction doesn't necessarily mean that there's going to be repentance, does it? You and I sometimes can be convicted by something. It may take months before we actually really get it and realize, well, maybe years sometimes. We just realize, golly, I gotta repent, you know, and get my life right in this area. It's unfortunate how far he had declined. You see, I know this to be true, having sat on a park bench 27 years maybe ago. with one of my buddies. Had been out on a bender and had been out drinking for quite some time. And I'm sitting on this park bench. It's wild that I remembered as well as I do, because a lot of that particular, there's some chapters that I don't remember real well, but this one I actually remember real good. I'm sitting there talking to this guy, and he had given his life to the Lord when we were both 12, 13 years old. He'd given his life to the Lord just as I had. And we'd both been partying, you know, we're adults now, by age only. And we're sitting on this bench. It's kind of foggy. Bars are all shut down, so it's probably 2:30, maybe 3 in the morning. We're sitting there. And he looks, and the Lord, I've been thinking a lot about God, because I'm pretty messed up by this point in time. I'm pretty far from God. I'm thinking about God. And he looks me in the eye and goes, "Hey, man, you think much about God?" And I'm like, "Oh." Man, I just had gushers. My eyes welled up. I go, "Man, dude, I think about it every day, and I'm not going to be able to do this much longer. I'm going to go home. I'm going to come back to the Lord." And now, this is somebody that's wasted. It's really prophesying because of conviction. I get it. Now, I could have hardened my heart as time went by and the conviction meant nothing. True? But in time, the hounds of heaven, eventually I got treed and I realized, man, I got to give my life back to the Lord. I had to go home. None of us, as the Lord prompts our lives, want to get so far that we can't hear him anymore. The Bible says, "My spirit will not always strive with man." And sometimes when we're talking to other people, they can build that layer of callous. They can build that layer of callous. They can build that layer of callous. They can build that layer of, and eventually there's a deadening of feeling with so much callous. This is where it talks about our hearts can be seared, as in with a hot iron. It's what we call cauterization, cauterizing something. We don't want our hearts to become like that. We want to be soft and pliable. We don't want to be repeat offenders. We want to know that, man, we've got a true friend in Jesus Christ in this battle that we wage war with an enemy daily. We've got a true friend. We've got the body, the bride of Christ, the church. It helps to look out for us and can share good things with us, even though we're imperfect. Man, we've got the sure word from powerful prophets if we will listen to what God would speak to our hearts. Hi, this is Pastor Jim. Thanks for tuning in today and listening to the message. I know that God is doing a work in your life. I know that as you hear his word, he's doing something in your heart, and he wants to begin that good work in your life as he's done in many of our lives, and he wants to forgive you of your sin. Maybe some of you are just carrying that weight of sin and you just want to be forgiven. Well, God wants to forgive you. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. God loves you. He wants to forgive you of all your sin. All you have to do is pray this simple prayer of faith and begin this new journey with Jesus. Again, it doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. God loves you and God will forgive you. Just pray this simple prayer with me. Jesus, I want to ask that you would forgive me of my sin. You know exactly where I've been and what's been going on in my life, and I want to begin a new life in you. And so, Jesus, I ask that you would come into my heart and be my personal Lord and Savior, and that I would begin this new journey with you. I ask that you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit, that I might live a life that would please you and bring you glory. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you for saving me. I ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you prayed and received the Lord into your heart today, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us or another Bible teaching church in your area so you may be encouraged in your new journey. If you'd like more information about Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, simply visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. And if you're social media savvy, you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/CalvaryChapelKC. Also, Living Fountains podcasts are available in the iTunes store now, and you can download them at no cost. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, we meet in Overland Park on Sunday mornings. The service times and directions can be found at calvarychapelkc.com, or you can simply contact the church office at 913-681-1635. It's been great spending time with you today in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us next time on Living Fountains.
Jesus, come.